Activia offers a range of yogurts which are a delicious way to look after your gut health. From the fruit range with carefully selected ingredients to no added sugar and 0% fat offering, as well as a cereals range, there's an Activia for everyone. Made with a unique blend of 5 ferments, creating an irresistibly creamy texture, each pot of Activia is a source of calcium, making it the perfect addition to your daily routine. Activia helps support a healthy gut. Your gut is where it all begins.
Please note that this episode contains references to self-harm and eating disorders that some listeners may find distressing. Welcome to Real Health with me, Carl Henry. Folks, my next guest is the best-selling author of Sweet Therapy, The Joy of Baking. She's a baker with 2 stores, 2210 in Mullingar and now the Powerscourt Centre in Dublin as well. Una Leonard, the powerhouse, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me on.
Well, you rocked in the door with a storm of energy and enthusiasm and motivation. And yeah, wow, you've got a very powerful energy before we go any further. You're very,
I try to be. I'm actually very much so into energies and I love all of that. So I kind of get good energies off people. So yeah.
Well, yeah, absolutely. You implode into the room. It's good. Fantastic. It's really good. Let's get cracking. I want to take it all back to the start, if that's okay. The intro in the book is all about how baking got you through very, very tough times. Mm-hmm. And I'd like to bring our listeners through that. I've seen you interviewed before. It's a fascinating story, and particularly where it's ending with the new store opening thing and all of that. So I'd like to bring it back to there about how baking became so important, the tough times that it did bring you through.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit more.
I think I've told the story maybe not that many times and not many people have heard it, but for me, I feel like so many have. And I don't like to speak about it too much because it is kind of a sad story, but I hope it gives people a little bit of hope. So I was studying to be a chef. I had no interest in bacon or pastries or anything like that, because if you were put in a dessert section, you were the last one out at night. So you didn't want to be working last in a restaurant. But my bacon actually came when I was at home. I suffered really, really bad with social anxiety as such, then depression. It kind of led over a couple of years. It started actually with a food disorder in school, and then my anxiety built, and then depression kind of got in there with me, and I had a suicide attempt. I had 2 in all, but the first one was the one that I really thought I was doing the right thing. I thought I was in the right place and I felt like I was making the right decision and for everybody around me, and I was really happy with my decision. And that's obviously just to show where my mental health was at the time. It wasn't the right decision to make. So when that happened and I woke up in hospital, I was put through a rehab. I was put to a rehab center. And after a certain amount of time, the nurses were starting to administer my medication from home. So they'd come to the house every day. And as an Irish person, as we do, I felt bad for them. I felt really bad that they had to come out and mind me. And like, they have loads of things going on in their own lives. Like, they didn't need to mind me. Yeah, isn't it? So I actually first off started baking for them, to have something for them. And I was enjoying my time in the kitchen. Kitchen being like the tiniest box room. I think like when Mam was designing the house, she actually forgot about the kitchen and then was like, oh, I'll just throw it in here. So I used to go in and clean it down as much as I could and set myself up and really enjoy the process of baking and taking raw ingredients. And then the best part of it was when I could serve it to somebody and look at how they reacted to it. And I used to hold on to those feelings quite a lot of like what people's reaction will be to it and how they enjoyed the treats. And I suppose then I was baking quite a bit at home because I was at home quite a lot because I was still technically in rehab and being looked after very well by everybody around me. I was still very, very sick. Within the small little glimmers of hope or glimmers of happiness I had in the kitchen, that would have been it. If I smiled or laughed or I felt a sense of normality and not numbness within once a month, that was normal for me. So I gradually could see that progress, and over time I was getting maybe 2 happy days or 2 happy moments a month. And then it sounds like when I tell my story and I kind of hear it back, it sounds like I went from being depressed to not being depressed. It was years.
And that's
years.
Really important, yeah. For, I think, for people to hear and yeah. to listen to that. Any process takes time.
It does. It takes quite a lot of time, but you have to hold on to the good. And like, there's very few of them, but when you get them, you're kind of like, okay, this is okay. And that kind of keeps you going until the next one. And distraction. I know people say, no, allow the feelings. But like, no, I'm like, distract yourself if you have to. It's fine. But yeah, so kitchen, I suppose the kitchen was my distraction, and it kind of got me from one happy moment to the next happy moment. And then gradually I kind of got more of those. But within that time, my nephew, who lived with us at the time as well, and if I can paint a picture of him, I would, but he's the brownest eyes, the curliest hair, and he curled up beside me in the bed one day and he asked me, would I make him a birthday cake? And you don't say no to a little cutie like that. Nope. So I was like, yeah, of course, no problem at all. And then I was like, what do you want? And he wanted a John Deere tractor, and he brought the exact John Deere tractor that he wanted up to me. So that
no
was,
pressure.
Yeah, no pressure at all. No pressure whatsoever. So yeah, it took me a good 5 or 6 days to make the John Deere tractor, and I created, and it actually looked really cool. I'll show you the picture, but it looked really, really cool. And yeah, I think I popped it up on Facebook at the time, and then friends and family started asking me for cakes. And you know what? It was the best distraction I could have ever asked for. I was able to be creative. Now, the cakes were absolutely horrendous. If you've seen some of them, oh, I have posted them before. There's a donkey in particular that is like the funniest thing ever. But it wasn't about the end product. It was about the process of doing it. And then I found it was something that I loved. That was my happy place. That was my content place. That was where I wanted to be. And to be honest with you, it was probably a lot of fear of leaving the kitchen space. And
safe.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Whereas I don't know if I would have planned to have a bakery or open a coffee shop or had that. But it was more that there was no business plan. There was no like blueprint. Like it was literally just to get into a kitchen and do the thing I absolutely love to do every day, even though it was like failure for the first 3 or 4 years, 5 years, I'd say. I was getting like help from people. I couldn't pay the rent. I couldn't pay everything, but I was happy. And that was it.
And of course, you haven't just self-thought. You're trained.
Yeah, well, I'm not trained in pastry. I'm not trained in cakes. I'm trained as a chef, but I'm not like, I've no pastry experience.
Okay, wow.
Yeah, I'm probably about 8 hours, I'd say, in my whole course. So, yeah.
And you trained with someone who we've had on the show before,
yes.
With Nevin up in McNean.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, Nevin was amazing. And the whole team and all the staff up there. And I was actually up there in quite a fragile state of my journey. My mom actually had to drop everything at home and come and stay with me while I was working and living up in Blackline, because I absolutely loved it. I was like a sponge up there. Like, they were amazing and they were wonderful people. Like, everybody was so kind and nice. If I was in any other restaurant in the country, I don't know what it would have been like or what the outcome would have been, but they were the most supportive, nicest people. And they supported Mam as well, because they knew Mam had come up to stay with me to keep me safe and to make sure I was okay. But yeah, it was a really, really good journey. And also, like, what I've learned in there, like, oh, it's phenomenal. Their kitchens are incredible.
They look amazing.
They are. And what they do and the people they have there, it's second to none.
Tell us about Camogie then, another love of your life.
Yes, that is another love of my life. I've played for as long as I can remember. My house, my family is hurling Camogie. My mom and dad played. My sisters play, my brother play, my nephew plays now. So we all play. Just have a love for it. It's something I never gave up. It was another thing that was always there. It kind of, you don't think when you're on the pitch, you love it. So I would have played underage with Westmead and threw up, like going up the ranks a little bit. I left it for a good while because when I was quite sick and I was anorexic and bulimic, I had enough troubles going on. I actually wasn't physically able to play at that stage. And then I finally got back into it about 2 or 3 years ago. Now, I played with my club all along, but I got back into the county 2 or 3 years ago. And had my last games due to a back injury last year.
What happened?
My lower back has completely collapsed. I haven't actually told anybody this yet because I can't stop crying over it. But yeah, my lower back is banjaxed and it's due to work.
But you're still involved, aren't you?
I'm still involved. I'm in the back. Yeah, I'm in the backroom team. So I told them, I was like, if you want me to put cones down, I will literally do anything. I just love it. It's like, it's your getaway. It's now because being in the kitchen used to be the thing I still absolutely love to do it, but you do need something outside of it. And I love being part of a team and I love being part of like the crack you have in there, like the friends you make, the everything you do it together and you do it for each other. So I love being part of it.
And then the back with work, tell me about that then. So sure, it has a huge impact on what you do.
It does. Now, in all fairness, like I don't take painkillers. I don't feel the pain. I feel like I may need them in a good few years' time. So I'm like, I don't take painkillers. It's just one of the things I do. And if it's sore, like I'll mind it. I'll look after it. But it has slowed me down a little bit this year, but only because I want to do the proper rehab to get it right. So, well, it will never be right again, but just to make sure I'm able to drive on with it and it won't affect me too much. But yeah, opening another shop is not really helping my back situation.
Yeah, life's about to get busier. Yes, of course.
Yeah.
2210.
Yeah.
That is your nephew's birthday,
yes,
isn't it?
So that little boy that I was telling you about that I made my first ever cake for, that's his day of birth.
Wow.
Yeah, the 2nd of the 2nd, 2010. Which is, he's not a little boy anymore. He's 13. But yeah.
And that's the significance of that keeps you, presumably, it's part of your motivation, your drive. Because when he was at home with you, the tractor cake, it started this momentum of what it's built up now to a second store.
Yeah. And like, he didn't know or understand until I wrote the book last year, like, because he's at that age. Like, so he's starting to understand a little bit of it and how the importance of like those innocence of him when he was so young and how important it was to my journey now as well. But yeah, it's been a whirlwind. It's been nearly 10 years now. Well, it's 13 years since I made my first cake. So 10 years really in business. And we're going into our second store. And you can see me sweating right now while I say that.
And it's not just you. You've a big staff.
Yeah. Yeah. So as of next Tuesday, we'll have a team of 20.
My goodness.
Yeah. I know. But they're brilliant. And like, you have to surround yourself with people that are like-minded. As you said, when you walk in the door and you get the energy off people, I think it's really, really important to surround yourself with people with the same type of energy as you, and you're going to get the same, you're going to have the same feeling amongst your team, like if everybody's on the same page. So like, I'm very much so known for how I hire. I don't hire on a skills base. I hire on an energy, and can they bring that? Because we can teach. Yeah. We can teach them how we want certain jobs done, but we can't teach a bit of crack and cop on and a bit of fun and good energy and how to treat people. Like, so that's what we really look for in interviews.
And what does that process look like then? So if you're going to interview me and I come into the room, how does the interview look? It's not my CV. So
I'm not a great one with CVs. And when I look at CVs, I don't particularly look at where they've worked before. I look at their hobbies and I look at their interests.
Oh, yeah.
And then I don't know. I can kind of sense it off people. I can feel it off people straight away. And I'm like, yeah, they're my type of person. Or else I kind of asked him a few questions, because I know that when you go into an interview, you can be quite nervous. So I won't ask him. And I'm like, this is not an interview. This is just us having a chat, having a crack. And I'll try and break the ice a little bit and ask them a little about their hobbies, about what they do. When was the last time you howled with laughter, and what was the scenario like? So I'll try and ask that, and I will not actually ask any sort of businessy questions, because unless it's something that we're hiring for, like maybe in the office or something to hire a role, but when we're looking for floor staff, we're looking for people that are going to smile, are going to laugh, are going to enjoy their work. They're going to, then I think all my customers will feel that off them as well. So yeah, that's what we look for.
Take me back to the first day of opening the shop then. So you've come through an incredibly tough time.
Yeah.
And then you're going into business.
Yeah. So I didn't know how to use a POS system. I actually didn't know what a POS system was. And I was like, what's that? And
it
was
explain to our listeners.
It's a till. It's a point of sale. So I didn't know how to use that. My dad, I had a very small budget. Me and Mam fitted the floor. We painted the walls. We made a makeshift kind of shop that we could possibly work from. I had one mixer that I took out of my mom's house. I had one fridge that was still in the unit that was already there. And I actually didn't have the proper ventilation, but I had fake ones up. So I know I probably shouldn't say that, but hey, I'm here now. I had them up. There was nobody else working, only me. And I did get pneumonia after 2 years of working there because my lungs were pooped after it all. But you just do what you have to do. And at that time, when I opened the shop, it was a matter of getting up. I think I used to get up at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. I'd go in and bake all morning, get the shop opened, sweep down the floor at 4 or 5 o'clock, close it down, and then get into cakes for the night. If I was getting home for 2 or 3 hours sleep, I was doing well.
Wow.
Yeah. And then I used to close it on a Monday, Tuesday and Wednesday, because it was very quiet. I was like literally begging people to come into the shop and just buy a cake. Like, I was like, please just buy a cake. But the Monday, Tuesday and Wednesday, I used to work elsewhere. So I'd take a part-time job I actually worked in Grouse Lodge for a while. I would just help anyone that would take me on. I used to actually make healthy meals for gyms and stuff like that. I would do anything just to be able to pay my rent to keep the bakery opened from Wednesday till Sunday.
Wow.
Yeah. It took a couple of years before we got our first hire. Yeah.
How do you get through the self-doubt when, because you're very driven and people listening in will hear that drive and that kind of obsession in terms of growing the business and the business. The doubt piece, I'm fascinated. I'm interested by it.
I think I work my way through it. And plus, I'm such a dreamer. I'm a pipe dreamer. Like, I will dream, like, New York is on my cards. Like, I dream big. And then I'm kind of like, everything else is kind of small when you dream big. So it's just a matter of doing it, really. But like, why not? Like, why not? That's what I always say. I'm like, I don't, can I curse on this? Even though I don't normally curse. Nobody probably
heard
me.
Your sister's going to listen in.
Yeah,
there,
so I know. Sorry, okay, there's all so when I first opened the shop, I had this attitude and I must have said it to myself probably about 20 or 30 times a day. Fuck it. What is the worst that can happen? I've already been at rock bottom. I already tried to take my, like, this is an extra day that I shouldn't have got. Like, everything was an added bonus. So why not?
Go for it.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's how I feel. And I still feel like that today.
We were chatting before you came in. We were chatting about cooking. And there's the back room team. And one of the guys was like, yeah, baking. Not really a baker. I kind of cook from this Italian cookbook. And I'm not really a baker. Baking's very exact. There's not a whole lot of wiggle. Is there much wiggle in baking? Or do you have to really stick to it?
I'm actually, like, I'm on the other end. So I'm a chef. So I love that. Like, firing everything into a pot and hoping something comes up. So yeah, yes and no. There is like science to it and it's good to have a base recipe, but I don't think I've ever took a base recipe and kept it. I've always changed it slightly a little bit for myself. So yeah, you can give or take. And especially with flavours, like if you're making a brownie, lob whatever you want into it. Like put caramel in on top of it, put your Biscoff, put Oreos through it. Like you can deteriorate a little bit with.
Do you watch The Great British Bake Off? And like scream at the TV.
I don't watch a telly.
Do you not?
No.
At all?
I bought a telly the other day. So I bought a house this year and I bought a telly 2 weeks ago. And that's the first time I've had a telly in my adult life, I'd say.
Go on.
It's mad. It like goes off.
Why?
I put it on in the evenings now and I put it on mute.
Oh yeah,
because I want
visual
the
visual simulation.
Yeah, yeah. Well, not that. I'll sit down and read my book or cook or whatever. But it's just nice to have something in the background. Yeah.
Why didn't you have a telly?
I didn't have time for one. She was working all the time.
So you're obsessed with what you love. What you do.
What I do, but like there was no point in it. Like because I'd never be at home to watch telly. Mm-hmm. Like I was never at home. I used to stay with my auntie who lived in Mullingar. I'd ring her and she'd leave a key out for me and I'd sleep for 2 or 3 hours and then come back into work. Like, so I never really even got home the earlier days. Now I'd watch a GA game at home, like in my home place. Yeah. That'd be the height of it.
Do you find you get lost in baking?
Completely.
Yeah.
Maybe is it lost in baking or is it lost in business now? Because I think I get caught up in both of them. Someone asked me the other day, how am I actually doing, even though I've been an emotional mess for the last 2 or 3 weeks, because there's a lot of highs and lows in business. And there hasn't been.
How do you deal with that then?
Cry.
Good. Crying is good.
I have cried that much the last month. Now, mostly personally, but so business is like soaring for me. So it's such a high. And then I come home and I'm not going to lie, it's sad. I come home to a house by myself. Like it's not hunky-dory. It doesn't look amazing. The one thing I did get to do in the evenings and the one thing I do love is camogie, and that's kind of been taken from me as well. So yeah, business looks amazing and my Instagram looks fantastic, but...
Oh yeah, that's the Instagram way, isn't
it? Yeah, it's not all that hunky-dory. Like it's sad, like sometimes. Yeah.
So the business is rocking.
Yeah, and it always
then,
has...
But then you... And you're associate... You're
I can't
so
down.
Engrossed within it that that's kind of the centerpiece of your life.
Yeah.
Like so many kind of self-employed people's businesses are my own included.
Yeah.
And then, but there does come a point though, doesn't there, where you reflect, you drive home to the house on your own and you're like...
Oh yeah, and I sit in the car and I bawl my eyes out and I'm like, what is life about? Like, is this really what I wanted? Is this, have I actually gave up everything for my business? Or is there more to it for me? And I do believe that like, your journeys are nearly there for you and you push towards them as such. And I'm like, is this mine? Do I not get the family as well? Do I not get the life? Do I not get the friendships? Or is it me? Am I not putting them out there enough to get them? So I do, like, I surround myself in work. I count down the times till Monday, till everyone's back in.
Because that they're your friends, that's your family, yeah. Everything within. That's my happy place.
That's my safe place. That's where I'm fully going.
I did that with clients for the first 10 years of my business, maybe 15 years of my business. It was all about them.
Yeah.
And I couldn't wait for Monday.
Yeah.
Because it was just like, it was
get me
work.
Back in there. Get me
and
back
were,
in there.
They
yeah.
are your family. They're, yeah. And then they're, yeah. And then there comes a point where you decide to step to try and balance that out with life.
Yeah, but then what is, that's what I keep asking myself the question. I'm like, what is my life? Like my
where do you get to when you ask that? That's yeah. deep.
No, I know it is quite deep, but it's like my love for my sport and all of that. And I'm not the best camogie player. I'm actually quite useless, to be honest. But like, I loved
it. But it's a community of
it. Yes, yeah. It's that. And that's gone. And then it's fantastic. I've bought a house. But when does it become a home? Like, do you know?
Yeah.
So I don't know. It, like 2210 Patisserie is amazing. I absolutely love it. And I will continue to always work it and give it absolutely everything. But just if anyone does have a business, like, don't look in and think it's all hunky-dory and it's perfect, because it's not. It's definitely not.
And do you think you'll struggle to step back from it as you expand?
Yeah.
Because one doesn't come without the other in terms of that personal stuff.
Yeah.
Side to life needs to probably come up in terms of the balance.
Yeah, it probably does. Like, and my balance is not right, but it's not just a business though. It's like, it is my love.
It's
like
life.
It's my passion. It's my, everything I think about and do is kind of revolved around how I can improve it or what I can do to, everything revolves around it. But then I get also angry with it, because I'm annoyed with it, because it's the reason that I haven't done, well, now I've done a little bit of traveling, but I haven't done much traveling. I get annoyed with it because it's the reason that my back is not great.
You're fascinating. I wasn't expecting the conversation to go quite where this has gone.
Oh, sorry.
I'm almost like the elder in the room, which is very scary. But it is. People get with who have small businesses, they get hooked on their business and it's their baby. It's their thing.
Yeah.
And it's addictive.
Yeah. But I see 2210 now, like the Mullingar 2210, as my retirement project.
Okay.
So that's where I want to be.
This is a lady, by the way, who came into the studio. Yeah, I've just finished my 5-year plan.
Yeah, I know.
Like, okay,
I know.
This is impressive.
No, as in, like, I have loads I still want to do. I just feel like there's so much. Why? Like, I said this to you before, but why not? You're not going to remember me when I'm gone. Like, so, not that I want anyone to remember me, but just do it all now. We're here. So, yeah, I have loads of plans. Loads I want to do.
And the new store in Dublin is open?
It is opened, yes.
Amazing. Dream come true. Paris Court Centre.
Yeah.
My brother-in-law's mum had a cafe in the Paris Court Centre years ago. And she's an amazing woman who's still going very strong down in Bandon and in Clonakilty. It's an iconic place for food and for entrepreneurs. It's symbolic.
Yeah, and like Chupi is right now, her new flagship store is right beside me. And I'm like walking by her like completely fangirling after meeting her loads of times, being like, I can't believe this is happening. So yeah, it's massive. I don't even think I don't think it's sunk in, because I'm still like trying to get all the things ready for it. But I don't think it's sunk in that we're actually going to be in Dublin and this is happening. Because I never thought we were going to be in Mullingar. Like, that's a pipe dream. Like, never mind Dublin.
You're not only in Mullingar, you're not only in Dublin, you're also online too. Yeah. I was researching you on the way up on the train this morning and I came across your toy show boxes.
Yes.
Which we'll be absolutely ordering too, coming to West Cork in the coming weeks. So people can order through the website and stuff too for delivery.
So during COVID, we completely shifted the whole business from just a normal cafe that actually didn't do that many sweet things, done a few sweet things, but we shifted it online and it has just blown up since. So, yeah.
And remind us of the website.
So it's 2210 www.2210patisserie.ie, I think.
Just Google 2210. It'll bring you there somewhere along the line.
You can get your treats literally delivered to your door anywhere in Ireland.
Amazing. And you had a pink water bottle or something.
We have water bottles and we have coffee and we have our book and we have like nice aprons and we have everything else.
And final question, remind us of your social accounts.
2210 patisserie.
Amazing.
Or Una Leonard. If you put either of them in, I think it pops up. I've never done that, actually.
Have you not?
No, I don't know what it is, actually.
Comes up in both.
Oh, does it? Brilliant. It's fantastic. Yeah.
That's been fascinating. There's a lot there. We do lessons of life apps, right? I know you are, and this is not being ageist in the slightest, but you are probably our youngest lessons of life person ever.
Oh, wow.
But you've a lot. You've a serious head on your shoulders in terms of maturity and all of that. And
maybe I've just too much time to think.
Or not enough, yes.
Very
best of luck with the stores and all the online orders over Christmas. I'm sure you'll be flat out. And thank you so much for coming into studio today. We really appreciate it. Thank you very much for having me. Folks, that is it for another episode of Real Health with me, Carl Henry. I really hope you enjoyed today's episode, a fascinating insight into small businesses, passions, and lots more. As ever, you know where we are, at Carl Henry PT on Instagram, realhealth@independent.ie. We'll see you next week for more Real Health. Slán go fóill.
If you've been affected by any of the content in this podcast, you can call Bodywise, the helpline, on 01210 7906 or the Samaritans on 01116 123.